You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network.
Okay, I'm just going to say it. I wasn't at the screening either. I was at another screening, and I have not the slightest idea what this movie Father Figures is about. I saw a poster. It had Owen Wilson in it. It had Ed Helms in it. It had J. Jonah Jameson in it. That's all I know. And then it's called Father Figures, which seems like a weird time of year to put that out. And then someone, when I was saying this to them at the theater, was like, yeah, they've seen some movie called Father Figures. Like, I think it's supposed to be one of those really hard R comedies. Is that accurate?
Not really.
It was kind of R.
We talked about this a little bit after we watched it, which was that this movie felt like it could have been PG-13. If you just took out the use of fuck a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than that, it was pretty
and
much
the occasional honey-flavored nipple.
Well, then, what the fuck is it about, you honey-flavored nipple?
So, the story about this... Yeah, so the plot
real
of
quick,
movie,
this is Aaron, I just wanted to say.
Oh, yeah.
He's oh, yeah, that was Aaron.
I want my credit.
Aaron's like, I haven't been on one of these highly suspect reviews yet.
Aaron says he was locked in Chris's basement, which we do not have in Texas, so I don't know why he said that.
I was technically on Minions 3. But that was the one that none of us could remember the plot.
Oh, right.
Except for me, which is ridiculous.
I've actually said in the theater, was like, ooh, I realized after I said it, I was like already irritated with this movie. It was set in Texas, and then there was like a basement, and I said, bullshit! Oh, fuck.
Remember, kids, you cannot have a basement in Texas because clay sucks.
Yeah, yes. There's no basements here. Anyway, yes, plot.
But yeah, the plot of this movie is that Ed Helms is a guy. I'm sorry. Ed Helms is a doctor.
He's Ed Helms.
A father.
Yeah, he's Ed Helms, who's a doctor, who's a dad, who has a brother. His brother's played by Owen Wilson. Who
is Owen Wilson.
Is Owen Wilson.
Ah, okay.
Their mom is played by Glenn Close. And so the beginning of the movie is just like, it just shows a quick slice of Ed Helms' life for like a second. And then after that, he goes to his mom getting married all of a sudden. Or not all of a sudden, but she's getting married. Sorry, I'm trying to remember the beginning part, because the beginning part was the most meh part of the entire movie.
That's okay, I'm with it. So basically, the two brothers go to their mom's wedding, and she's clearly getting remarried after a long life. And, Ed Helms has a shitty relationship with his kid. He has an ex-wife, and none of them get along. And Owen Wilson, again, just plays Owen Wilson and is kind of the doofy, selfish stoner guy.
Wow.
And so, yeah, at the wedding...
I think he says actually.
Ed Helms... He does actually say wow.
That's the joke.
Ed Helms deuces out mid-wedding to watch Law & Order. That is actually true.
Yeah, he watches Law & Order SVU.
Yeah.
Which is the one that's still on, yeah.
It's the Law & Order du jour, quite frankly, yeah.
And while watching it, he realizes that the villain of the week is actually the guy who their mom has told them for the last 40 years is their dad, who died before they were born from colon cancer.
Wait, so it's not like a rerun episode or something. It's like,
well, it might have been a rerun,
dad, but like the idea being like, holy shit, that's the guy she told us he died a long time ago, and clearly he didn't die a long time ago.
Yeah, because he has a picture of him in his wallet. And it has this super obvious birthmark on his head.
Is this some famous actor, some well-known actor?
I'm not sure.
It was the guy who played the super snobby British guy on Frasier, which...
That's not narrowing
that callback. Okay. It was specifically the British guy who had the food show. That's all I remember him as. Gil.
Okay.
But, so anyways, he confronts his mom at the wedding. They have a huge scene. And Ed Helms and Owen Wilson decide to go track down their father, kind of abandoning his son at the wedding, but that's neither here nor there. And that's basically the movie.
You're skipping the most important part of it, is that after he finds out that, when he points this out, his mom tells them straight out, no, that isn't actually your father. And so that's the exact point where that's why they have to go find out who their dad is. And their first lead is given to them, and it's in the trailer, to be honest, so it isn't really a spoiler. Yeah. Your first lead is Terry Bradshaw.
And like so playing Terry Bradshaw?
Playing Terry Bradshaw.
Okay, the football player.
I know something
about sports ball.
Yeah. the dad in Failure to Launch.
Okay.
So, I just saw Elliot wince super hard. That's the joke. That's the joke.
What's good? Who's got two thumbs and name checks failure to launch?
2006 most mediocre comedy.
And so from there, the movie begins by, yeah, like you said, Ed Helms goes off in a huff and he's trying to figure out, and he wants to go find his dad. And Owen Wilson's like, let's go find our dad. And then they immediately forget that Ed Helms has a son.
Yeah. And like truly, both of us were talking about it afterwards. We spent the next 10 minutes going, like seriously, you're not going to... You only had your son for the weekend. You just kind of left mid-wedding. Like, literally, they leave in the middle of the wedding. But
so, yeah, as this actual story progresses that we actually should be talking about, is that you find out eventually...
Such a stickler for the rules. It's not about the rules.
You eventually find out that Terry Bradshaw, I guess, isn't the dad, which is also in the trailer.
Not a spoiler, yeah.
It's not a spoiler. And then you just go through a series of different people who could be the dad.
Yeah. Might be the dad.
And so,
like, who else are we naming here?
J. Jonah Jameson, you mentioned.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken.
Walken pops up in a
yeah, and
not
then
gonna try and do the Walken.
I don't know the actor.
They could
and,
split
and,
the
and,
universe.
And then there's also that Italian cop in every movie who always plays an Italian cop. He's one of those that guys.
Okay,
yeah,
he's
that guys.
So here's the interesting thing. So like when you talk about this movie, you can't ignore the fact that it is as stereotypical as you can possibly get.
Absolutely.
Like when you
in what sense?
When you watch the trailer, you know it's, okay, they're going to go to this guy, there's going to be a funny scene, like a little set-piece moment, and then they're going to find out he's not their dad. And then they're going to the next guy, a set-piece, they find out he's not their dad. And then it's going on and on and on. You know at some point the brothers are going to have a tiff and they're going to fall out. There's going to be probably some romance angle because he's divorced, and clearly that's, like, unhappy with his romance life. And then at the end, everything's going to come together and it's going to be happy and yay. But
he's not wrong. But this movie did something that caught me off guard, because the very beginning of the movie, so almost like the first hour, I guess, it feels exactly what that trailer was giving you. Like, it's just like, but because you hate Owen Wilson pretty much from the get-go. He's kind of a prick. He doesn't know his nephew's name. He doesn't remember the last time he actually saw his brother.
He's a slacker hippie guy.
He's Owen Wilson's character in many movies, but he's also incredibly rich because he. When he was living in Maui or something, some guy saw him and put him on a hot sauce bottle, and he gets residuals every time a bottle is sold. And so Ed Helms, like, fucking hates him because he doesn't have to work at all. Yeah, he fell ass backwards into money. He has this hot, like, Hawaiian wife kind of thing. Or not wife, but a fiance, I guess.
Who he has dated consecutively for six months without sleeping with anybody else.
Like, at one point,
that's how he introduces her.
And you continue to hate Owen Wilson as the movie progresses from time to time. Because, like, when he asks Ed Helms how many people he slept with since he's got divorced, he's like, was it only 10? Like, 10 in the year? And he's like, what? You end up hating him.
I assume
immensely.
That, like, eventually they find a way to connect.
So in the beginning, like, it really is just, like, you don't like a lot of the characters. Like, everyone is just a stereotypical one of these kinds of things. Like, Monster-in-Law, if you've ever seen Monster-in-Law.
Unfortunately.
It feels like watching the entirety of Monster-in-Law for the first half hour. And so you tolerate the movie, but then at one point, everyone starts becoming a person. And then you end up liking people the longer it goes on. The same way. I ended up really enjoying Owen Wilson's character as well as Ed Helms' character by the time the movie was over.
Yeah, it does a really good job of taking the stereotypes that every character is, like, to a T, and turning them into authentic, honest, real people who have good attributes and bad attributes, and they have dreams and hopes, and they talk about those dreams and hopes, and they are all trying to actually better themselves, and it turns from one of those negative, mean-spirited comedies into an honest and sincerely touching movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the beginning, like, because the Terry Bradshaw part is very much just, it's something out of a normal little comedy where, like, oh, your dad's famous or whatever, and then they just sort of have some shenanigans for a little bit. And so you don't really care about anybody. Like, you don't even really give a shit about Terry Bradshaw at that point.
Well, at that point, the movie is only dick and fart jokes. I mean,
yeah, like,
it's one of those movies.
Like, there's one long joke in that part where they're just like, your mom was a great lay, basically.
Yeah.
It's the joke.
That is the entire scene. It felt like a movie
I feel like I've seen this movie.
Well,
right, exactly.
Yeah,
but the first hour, you have seen it.
Very much.
No, but I mean, even the plot, I'm like, this sounds so familiar. Maybe I just saw the trailer a while back and forgot about it.
Sounds a little like
like Mamma Mia.
A little bit like Mamma Mia is what.
Wasn't
George
Glenn Close also at the moment?
No, that was
Meryl Streep.
Oh,
Streep,
they look yeah. okay.
They've always had a sort of like kind of look similar,
fairly
but,
similar.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, but as the movie progresses, as it goes through each dad, there's a and even the sequence that we knew was coming up, which is the fight. Is actually has some real points for both sides of the fight. Like, it's not just a fight that just sort of happens.
What do you mean
like,
the fight?
Because him and the brother get into a fight, like most of these
like
kind of
knockdown,
comedies.
Knockdown, drag out, physical
actually,
fight.
Actually, yeah, yes a little bit. No. But it's the scene in it's the scene in every romantic comedy where the couple, who in this case are brothers, through just a stupid argument, end up really hating each other for a moment.
Right.
Except here, instead of just being a stupid little nothing, they actually
like
bring up honest-to-God real points that are valid on both ends, and it feels not like a scene that exists because it has to. It feels like an honest-to-God moment where two people who love each other come together.
It was probably one of the most earned random fights in one of these comedies I've seen.
Yeah.
In a
wow,
long time.
Okay.
And they do a great job.
I mean, there's no alley fight from Jay Lynn.
No, it wasn't anything like that.
No, it's nothing like that. But they do a good job, too, throughout the movie, of every time they kind of get serious, they do the obvious cut to humor, but it's humor that works. So, like, in that sequence, there's Cat Williams in the back, who is a guy they literally pick up and tie up with rubber cabling in case he tries to murder them, who is kind of commenting behind them on the revelations that the characters drop in the middle of their fight. You know, like, oh, shit, he's the right one. I'm on his side. Actually, you know what? No, that's a great point. I'm on his side.
It sounds
now.
Like that could be kind of
funny. It works.
And yeah, there's a lot of jokes that work purely once the second half really starts. And because, yeah, the first half is so stereotypical, it's a lot of crude jokes for crudeness sake, to the point where, yeah, like, if you would have taken them out, it would have been a PG-13 kind of film. And there are certain jokes that just fall flat because of it. But, yeah, once it takes its turn, it takes almost like a 180. Like, the entire first half feels like somebody's script that was a stereotypical thing, and then somebody, randomly came in and grabbed, like, the second half and said, I'm going to work on this real quick, and then walked off and came back with something more polished and then dropped it off and just fucking left. And
they were like, we're out of time. We can't fix the first act.
Well,
let's just go
much.
With what we
And it's
got.
Interesting because the scenes, the second half actually, it even recontextualizes some of the sequences in the first half because, like, once you see more of the mom towards the end of the movie, you understand why she lied to them for 40 years, and you go from God, what a bitch, to, oh my God, I legitimately understand why you did that, and I'm totally with
it's
you.
It's got a hell of a twist.
And
so her father is Hitler or something?
A little bit.
Well, I don't want to give away the
it's
twist.
Stalin.
Oh, Donald Trump.
Oh.
Same difference.
I don't want to give too much of the ending away, but there's a very, the it's kind of a twist, but the way it plays out was incredibly emotional and actually very heartfelt.
I admittedly cried a little bit, although I will say that
I did not expect to hear.
There's a little stinger on the end that doesn't really affect the story at all, and it kind of undoes some of the
one
good,
specific thing.
Just because it reverts back to the first half where we've gotten to a point where all of these characters are really interesting characters. And, oh, yeah, here's just a who-gives-a-shit kind of ending.
Here's a MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Okay.
For, like, the last 10 seconds of the movie.
Well, that's nothing if it's the last 10 seconds. No. Although those stinger jokes are that way.
And there is a scene towards the end of the second act, right till we barrel into the home run ending, that is so predictable. Like, in fact, once the moment began, I leaned over to him and went, so this is what's happening right here. And then,
I
3 seconds
over.
Later, it was like, fuck. And he leaned over and went, so this is what's happening next. And we were both right. And it ended up being probably the funniest and most honest sequence in the entire film for being
out
so
amazingly.
Outlandish.
I can't believe you're describing
and
the movie Father Figures.
There's a random B character who shows up in two scenes who her performance as she goes through this is surprisingly honest for what could have just been a vulgar throw-up joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a joke that, like, yeah, even if you see coming, they end up making it work somehow.
It's a surprisingly honest vulgar throw-up joke.
Yeah, pretty
well,
much.
Yeah, and like in any other movie, it would have just been someone going like,
it's because,
oh, gag.
Like, you see, like, it's not just like a throw-up joke, is that you see her reaction from beginning to the end to the point where she's about to throw up, because it's the realization of what's going on as it continues.
And very much like the rest of the movie, it's human. And like, it felt real.
And then Owen Wilson's like, wow.
Pretty much.
Actually, I think he might have said wow in that sequence. Yeah.
But there's so many like random jokes in this movie that just somehow work that I'm surprised by. Yeah. Specifically in one of the last sequences towards the end of the movie, it's this very serious sequence. And then it just stops the sequence dead in its tracks to point out something so fucking absurd. Okay. But couldn't help but fucking laugh at how goddamn absurd it is.
And it only works because the characters during the sequence are actually going, no, we need to talk about this, damn it. Actually, oh my god, look at that.
All right, well, let's go to final thoughts. Aaron, get us started.
All right, so it's... You can't avoid the fact that it's a stereotypical movie. It feels like... So what started out as a really crappy B-movie monster-in-law script, and someone came in and did a polish that really worked and created interesting characters out of it. It's funny, although you can't ignore the fact that the first half is rough, you know? It's just rough and vulgar for vulgar's sake. It's the kind of movie I would totally take, like, my wife or my mom to go see and have a good time, and I'd watch it again if it came on, but I probably wouldn't seek it out. I'd say...
Sure.
Call it what is 7 out of 10 hipster glasses.
Okay, fair enough.
I agree pretty much with almost pretty much everything he said. The first half of it, I tolerated for chunks of it. Because there's a lot of it, so you just hate most of the characters. And I only kind of liked Ed Helms because he's the straight man reacting to me hating these people kind of thing. And as the movie progressed, I found there was just some point in the midpoint that I was just all of a sudden with it. I couldn't pinpoint the exact moment, but as it progressed, I ended up liking Owen Wilson's character. I ended up liking Ed Helms' character. I ended up liking, you know, some of the other sequences in the beginning retroactively because of it. And even some of the jokes that I knew that was happening, they still work because they made it work somehow. And by the time it was done, I enjoyed it more than I expected. I was expecting this movie to be awful, and it was at first, but then... It just sort of won me over, and I would be something I would take my mom to, because there's no nudity in it kind of thing. It's just the word fuck.
Oh, that's where you stand off from. You're like, I can't watch nudity if my mom.
I would feel uncomfortable with next to my mom doing something like that. My dad would be fine with that, but I would not be able to watch something like that next to my mom. But yeah, as soon as it was
over, moms like sex too, you know.
Yeah. I'm not saying they don't. I'm not saying they don't, but it doesn't make it any more obvious.
They have needs, okay? They have needs.
I know for sure your mom does.
that is the creepiest thing you've ever said.
I had to take it.
I really hope his mom listens to this review.
As the youngest of five kids, I can't argue that.
Holy shit, you really can't.
Yeah, I can't.
My youngest brother is kind of white looking.
So yeah. I would have to give this 7.8 out of 10 giant cat testicles.
So did you guys have to call your dads on the way back from the screen?
Were you like, no, not really.
No, it's not really. It's not, because the twist, amazingly enough, makes that work.
You were like, instead, like, I got to call my mom. Mom, you're going to love this movie. There's no tits in it at all.
Exactly.